This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. We taped Discover Lafayette at Raider's headquarters in the Oil Center of Lafayette. Raider is a managed IT service provider that offers world-class service, including cybersecurity, communications, and technology support. With Raider, you have just one vendor and one number to call, allowing you to concentrate on what is most important, your business. For more information, visit RaiderSolutions.com. And while we're talking about Raider, many thanks to Jason Sikora of Raider, who records and mixes our sound, ensuring a professional podcast production. The generosity of Ochsner Lafayette General makes this podcast possible. Ochsner Lafayette General understands that each patient is unique, and so is your path to good health, from the miracle of childbirth to the mending of broken bones or the journey through cancer. Ochsner's physician and care teams provide access to more than 90 specialties and an ever-expanding list of convenient locations right here in Acadiana. With Ochsner Lafayette General, you're cared for through every stage of life, and healing isn't just a destination. It's a journey we walk together. For more information, visit ochsner.org/Lafayette. Today's podcast is brought to you by Lafayette-based VieMed, a national leader in post-acute respiratory care and sleep therapy. VieMed currently serves over 96,000 patients throughout the U.S. and employs nearly 1,000 people, including hundreds of dedicated respiratory therapists who help those diagnosed with COPD breathe better. VieMed is committing to empowering people to live their life, the company's motto. Visit VieMed.com for info about how they can help you breathe or sleep better. Today, we're focused on the beautiful Louisiana Swamp Base, a national conservation and high adventure recreation program created by the Evangeline Area Council, Boy Scouts of America. Swamp Base aims to immerse thousands of young people in the environment and culture of the 1.4 million acre Atchafalaya Swamp each year. It's also open to the general public for all kinds of activities, including a conference center for business retreats, ecotourism events for travelers, and partners with universities across the U.S. to expand curriculum offerings. We're joined in Raider Studios today by Ben Pierce, Executive Director, and Gina Beckham, Program Director. They oversee this massive project, which brings joy to tens of thousands of people of all ages each year. Gina, Ben, welcome to Discover Lafayette.
Thank you so much.
Yes. So this is such an exciting thing to me. We live in a beautiful part of the country, and so many of us don't take advantage, right, of what's right under our nose. So we're here today right before Easter. It's a beautiful sunny day and probably a good day to be out at Louisiana Swamp Bay. So I thought you guys could tell us first about your background, you know, with the Boy Scouts, how this works, and really dive into what's offered at Swamp Bay. So Ben, would you like to start?
Yeah. So, my name's Ben Pierce. I grew up here in Lafayette. My story really and how I got into scouting and helped develop Swamp Base goes back to being a child. I was in scouts when I was 6 years old. Sadly, though, I only was in scouting for 1 year. And so I had an outdoor family that instead kind of got me to grow an appreciation for our environment. But the story of kind of living in Louisiana and, you know, what we celebrate was kind of lost on me as a youth. My family's from the Midwest, so even though we would go to festivals and we would eat local cuisine, I didn't have that kind of part of my heart and soul being here in Acadiana. And so when I graduated from LSU in landscape architecture, I got out of the state and fell in love with Louisiana after I left. And I think that's a lot of times people's thing. You don't know what you miss until you're gone. And so when I had a chance to come back 2009, 2010, being able to do something and learn and maybe celebrate more about our local landscape and culture here was something that at that point had become important to me. It wasn't when I left, but when I got back, I was like, I've got to do something that can leave a lasting legacy. So my background is generally in planning and problem solving. And so when we were looking at ways to celebrate scouting and what we do here in Acadiana, and I joined the team, thought we could come up with some really cool ideas in order to make an impact here locally.
And boy, have you. So Gina, introduce yourself, please, and your background.
So I'm Gina Beckman. My title with Swamp Base right now is our program director, and I am our educational outreach coordinator, kind of on our more public side. I got involved in Swamp Base, or really scouting first. In high school, I joined a scouting organization called Venturing, which is through the Boy Scouts. It's for co-ed scouts ages 14 to 21. And they do more things like Swamp Base, more of the high adventure rather than just kind of like camping in the backyard sort of thing. And I actually met Ben in 2015 at a scouting event in Nashville and thought it would be super cool to spend a summer working seasonally with Swamp Base. So in 2016, I spent the summer trek guiding, guiding the scouts through the swamp. I did 61.6 miles over 6 day periods. I did about 400 miles that summer. Then left for a while, went and got some other full-time jobs, and then eventually made my way back here to Louisiana and back into this position with Swamp Base.
Where did you grow up, Gina?
Mount Juliet, Tennessee.
And you don't have an accent. I was thinking you would have been like, we were talking about Ohio earlier, you know?
No, I don't have much of an accent. I think it kind of fades out in the Nashville area. We're a big melting pot. So
So you're both like transplants. And I have to ask the accent question again. Do you find that you take on some of what we say, you know,
we moved here when I was in elementary school. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've been here a long time. I just recently started saying y'all. I finally got around to it. It was you guys for a long, long time, because that's what my parents say. I mean, they say soda. They don't say Coke, you know, they're that whole kind of stereotype. But it took me a long time to kind of even embrace what I call home, you know. So
Well, this is a special year for the Boy Scouts. And Gina was reminding me it's the 100th anniversary, right? If you want to get into that.
It's the 100th anniversary for our council, the Evangeline Area Council. BSA had its in 2010.
Yeah, so the council was founded in 1924, and you have about 250 or so councils across the country, and they're broken up by different geographical areas. And so Louisiana has 6 different council headquarters. Here in Lafayette, you have one in Lake Charles, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Monroe, and Shreveport. And so we serve the 8 traditional parishes of Acadiana, basically from St. Landry and Evangeline Parish all the way down to Vermilion and St. Mary Parish.
Okay. So talk about Swamp Base. I mean, that's why we're here. It's beautiful out there, but can you talk about maybe how this came about and the reason behind it, the impetus to invest in Swamp Base?
Yeah, since I was here, I guess I should be the one talking about it a little
founder.
Bit, right? Back in 2010, that's when the Boy Scouts of America nationally was celebrating 100 years. And so you had different councils across the country that were looking for ways to celebrate scouting. Maybe they were having parades, they were doing trying to set Guinness Book of World Records. We heard all kinds of different things. Well, the local leaders here in Acadiana wanted to do something that would have a much larger, meaningful impact on the community and the environment. And so they had made a dedication at that point to the Atchafalaya Basin and wanted to do a tree planting event. And so in 2010, that's when I came on. Literally 4 weeks before this event, they told me I needed to plan a 100-year anniversary event, which was fabulous on their part to be able to sit there and do that. And I'd never done an event planning. And they're like, you're going to have about 1,500 people show up. We want to have some Grammy Award-winning artists performing, and you're going to have to do a conservation activity that's going to be meaningful, and we're going to be able to get these great photos of, and we're going to be able to brag about to the rest of the country.
And a budget of about $100.
Not a whole lot, right? And so I sat there, we got this thing planned, and the idea was to plant a cypress tree over near the Butte La Rose Welcome Center site for every scout that was in the council. And so we had roughly 4,500 or so scouts at the time, and we were going to go plant cypress trees. Like, of course, that's the state tree. It's, you know, obviously a beautiful tree that fills the Atchafalaya, and so we'll sit there and plant all these trees. Well, we had the thoughts in our mind that we're going to start planting these trees early in the morning, and we're going to be still planting trees at like 2 a.m. because there's so many trees, 4,500 trees. How are we going to do that? Well, we get all these scouts out there. We have Beausoleil performing. We had Cedric Watson out there performing. We had we made a festival out of the whole site. And we planted all those trees in about 2 hours.
You did?
4,500 trees, and these scouts just flew through and planted these trees. So, I mean, because they know what to, they love the outdoors.
Wow.
They're efficient. They work together well as a team. And I mean, we're sitting there going, well, this is a real issue here because we have a whole afternoon group that's supposed to be helping with these trees. But we have them all in the ground already. So we actually had to go around and pull trees out of the ground so they had something to plant. Can't have somebody show up and then not have a tree. And in fact, I had somebody just tell me just recently, they said, have you gone back and looked at the trees in the last few years? And I haven't. And they're like, you got to go. There's literally
really
a cypress forest. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so you had a lot of different like lesser trees, some invasive trees that had kind of grown throughout that forest. And so we had gotten rid of a lot of the invasives and allowed space for these native trees to be able to thrive. So I need to get back out there myself and do that. But so we started back in 2010 of just kind of doing conservation activities. We followed that up as a centennial celebration to do a trash cleanup. We had all the different fishing holes, boat ramps across five different parishes that kind of border the Atchafalaya and said, we're going to go out there and remove trash and make a big difference. And so we went out there and we removed about 40,000 pounds of trash in a single Saturday morning.
Who do you get permission from to plant trees and remove trash? Like who owns, like who has the rights to give you permission?
Everywhere we were doing our conservation activities were all on public lands.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's kind of with the scouting thing too. You really can't do volunteerism on private property because it doesn't benefit the whole public.
Mm-hmm.
So we worked with the state, all the different department levels over in Baton Rouge.
You had to get permits for everything.
I don't know about permits. They kind of just sat there and said, you're doing something that's really awesome for us, and we don't have to deal with it ourselves.
Good.
So why don't y'all go just do? You know, we had to make sure we had the right insurance in place because we were working along the water's edge, but we did that, worked with the parishes. All the parish governments were really happy to have us involved. And at the time, a volunteer hour was worth about $22. So that was the equivalent. And we were going out there and we're having 1,000 people, you know, planting trees or 500 people picking up trash. And they're doing that for 4 hours. And you just kind of do that math and you're looking at huge savings to these locations, as well as when we leave, how beautiful that place looks, like it should be. And so you're starting to make a difference. And we kind of sat there and talked about, if you go to these fishing holes and you see litter at the fishing hole, people feel comfortable leaving their own litter there. But once it's been cleaned up, they don't want to be that first person.
Right.
So it can start to slow those kind of things down. And hopefully culturally, you'll see people start to make that change themselves. So it was kind of like the early stages of like what we even talk about with like Parish Proud and the great things they're doing here in Lafayette. We were doing that, but on a large scale in the Atchafalaya. And so over, you know, 60 to 100 miles of locations out there, picking up trash and waterways and trying to make a big difference. And we continued that for a number of years until we really got into what we do now, which is more, we coined the term kind of adventure tourism, where we get people from all over the country to see it firsthand. And we feel like immersing them in the Atchafalaya is going to be a much larger impact than even going out there and just planting trees and picking up trash. Mm-hmm. Having people fall in love with it is very important.
It's really a destination, Gina. I mean, it's... people come from all over, like Ben was saying.
Yeah, the Atchafalaya Swamp is huge. It's part of the Mississippi Drainage Basin, which is the third largest drainage basin in the world. And it's a huge watershed. 40% of the contiguous United States all drains to right here. And a lot of people don't realize that. And a lot of the youth that we get from across the country, this summer about 20% of our participation is going to be from California.
Oh, my goodness.
We've had groups from Maine, Alaska, Hawaii, every state but four states?
Yeah.
Yeah, almost every state now. And they don't oftentimes see the connection that they have here, but bringing them in, immersing them, showing just the vast size of the watershed and the vast size of the swamp and how interconnected we all are can make a huge impact.
Mm-hmm. So, Gina, what do the groups do when they come? Like, I know there's different packages that you offer for length of time and the activities. Can you talk about some of that?
Yeah. So generally we offer a trek called Trek One. It's 6 days here in Louisiana. Five of those days are spent on the water. Four of those are spent paddling the 61.6 miles. Our trail kind of starts up around Port Barry and finishes just south of around Generet, to give you kind of an idea of the length of it. So groups arrive here in Lafayette. They meet we have a position called orientation guide. They meet one of our orientation guides here at the hotel. They go through kind of expectations for the week, make sure all the paperwork's in order. Then they eat dinner. They eat po' boys from Old Time Grocery. Then they wake up. Yes, those are a tradition. And they wake up very, very early the next morning. They get on our bus and ride up to the trailhead up kind of in the Grimmett Canal. And they paddle through Indian Bayou that first day. They come to a point we call the wall. So the Grimmett Canal is kind of wide, kind of straight. So it's not a lot of challenge. And then once you get past the wall, it narrows. It's a lot windier, lots of great wildlife, birds, alligators. So they paddle about 20 miles that day down to, we have some floating pavilions we call the Turtles. And they camp on those. They spend the night. Great sunsets, great sunrises. We feed them good food. That first night, they eat red beans and rice. Second night, chicken jambalaya. Third and fourth nights are gumbo, crawfish etouffee. And then on that fifth day, they get po' boys again.
So they really are immersed in our cuisine.
Yeah. The second day, they wake up and get to take a swamp tour with McGee's Swamp Tours, where they get up close with some alligators. The alligators are actually pretty skittish of the canoes. So if you want to get up close to them, you have to be quiet or be in one of the tour boats that they're more used to.
Are the people scared? Like, are the, you know, that would scare me.
Yeah. I mean, that is definitely one of the misconceptions. And like, part of what we do is trying to break those misconceptions and those fears. Fear prevents a lot of people from exploring this like beautiful backyard that we have, whether it's fear of alligators or mosquitoes or the heat or sunburn or, you know, whatever it is that intimidates you about swamps. But alligators really aren't much of a—
They're not a threat.
They're not really a threat. I've paddled around 1,000 miles doing treks with Swamp Ace, and I have never once had a problem where I've felt like I was in danger because of an alligator.
Now, so. Ben had little alligators in his office when I came to meet with y'all. They were little. I mean,
they were babies a year and a half to 2 years old. And the reason that we have alligators with us and we're allowed to go into schools, we talk with students all the time, we're in the business of changing people's opinions about this place. And so having people immersed on the treks and going on these, on paddling for 60 miles, or whether it's having a school group come in and talking to them about our wildlife and our connectivity to the rest of the country, it's allowing them to not only have a better understanding of this place, break those fears, but hopefully have some pride actually in where they live. And that's a thing that's very important. You know, we have, if we get on a larger political conversation here, it would be that, you know, you have people who want to leave Louisiana. Louisiana is not necessarily gaining a lot of population. We're not one of those states. We're not a Texas that's growing or Florida. We have to be very careful in how we keep and cultivate our own people here. And so if we don't have that pride in what we call home, we're going to lose those folks. And that means we're losing some of the best and brightest people that we have in the country here. We know about Cajun ingenuity and these other things, right? We want to make sure that we keep those great people here that can grow businesses, raise their families, and that's what we kind of do with what our program's about. But at the same time, we're actually introducing people from all over the country to why Louisiana is really awesome.
Right.
We're kind of ambassadors in a kind of way. You know, if we got a group coming from Kansas and they spend their first night out on the water, they're like, wow, this is so cool. This is so different from what I'm used to. Yeah. Instead of rolling wheat fields and everything and grasses, now we've got these beautiful cypress trees, all this water around us. Obviously, the wildlife's going to be different. And then if we feed them our great food, man, you feed their belly and you give them some great stuff to see and experience, man, they want to stay here. They want to come to the local university. And,
right.
And maybe they'll be new transplants to the place.
That's beautiful. Too. And Gina, you go into the schools locally, right? You present
information. I do a lot of our outreach education programs. So part of why you saw the alligators in the office is we have several programs that we offer, one kind of featuring alligators. We have another one called Swamp Superpowers that focuses on animal adaptations and wetlands. And then we also have a program called Grow with the Flow. So we have a hydrology table or a stream table we take into schools, and they can learn about water body formations, land formations, and the connectivity between animals, habitats, and people within that landscape.
So when people come, you know, if they're coming to visit, whether they're local or from around the country, what are the ages that you typically see? Is it mainly youth that are doing these 5 or 6 day adventures?
You have to be at least 13 to do high adventure with us. Some other national bases, it's 14, but because we are a council base, we can welcome those 13-year-olds. And then in venturing and sea scouting, up to the age 21 is still considered kind of like a hybrid youth in scouting. And then, of course, each group brings some adult leadership with them as well, at least two. Most of them bring 3 or 4. That way, if something happens on trail, they've got an extra adult to the group. Doesn't have to entirely come off. But yeah, it's going to be primarily youth 13 to 18.
But people can do just day adventures too, right? Like I could, with my family, we could just go for the day. Like what would we do?
Yeah, so if you were wanting to go out there and just experience the Atchafalaya and just kind of a brief one-day paddle, that's with our partner company, McGee's Swamp Tours. Mm-hmm. We bought the property that was historically McGee's Landing, been McGee's Landing since the 1930s. We bought that property at the end of 2016. So you can actually go out there, whether you're wanting to do a swamp tour or airboat, but you could also rent canoes and go and paddle. And a lot of times people are, especially locals, if they haven't been out in the Atchafalaya, they don't really know where to go. We help you with that. They're kind of afraid still, even of the same fears that these scouts may have before they get here, the alligators, the snakes and everything. And we can help to kind of break those misconceptions for those people too, because we got a beautiful aquatic landscape right outside of Lafayette and in Acadiana. And we need to have more people utilizing it to really kind of, again, see how beautiful this place is. And the more people that we have out there, the more people we want are going to want to protect it and see that it flourishes for years to come.
Is there a restaurant out there, or do people eat in the area when they come visit?
We used to have a restaurant out there. It was not in good shape when we bought the property, so we had to take it down several years ago. We've got plans to replace it with something much greater. But yeah, eating in St. Martin Parish or anywhere here, you're going to find something good somewhere along the way.
So do you have future plans for growth, to attract other types of revenue streams?
Yeah, absolutely. So we want to see the Atchafalaya being an environment that can be utilized by all people. And so no matter what your abilities are or your interests, there's going to be something out there for you to be able to utilize. And that comes from either scouting or having students go out there and field trips and really make it a more immersive field trip opportunity for them. Take what Gina's bringing to the schools and then actually have them go out there and kind of live it and see it firsthand. And that'll include having exhibit space out there, classroom space, laboratory space. So high schoolers, even college age students come out there and do some studies and be able to utilize our facilities. And then in addition, be able to have local businesses come out and have retreats. So we'll have a conference center space out there as well. So that way they can actually have the great view, be in a different environment, not just here in the hustle and bustle of the city.
Right, and really focus on what's important. I was really intrigued by some of the research where I saw that you do partner with universities, I guess, for their curriculum, right? It's like a big laboratory, huh?
Right. We've worked with a lot of the different departments, primarily here at UL, just because of our proximity to them, and being able to help with internships for sure. So we can sit there and talk with, biology department, environmental studies department, and say, hey, look, this is what your students will be doing during the summertime. This could be a great internship opportunity. And if anything, it really just gets them more excited about their potential career path. Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about cost and where we can find out more. So, Gina, if you want to address that.
So, it depends on the group size. For those smaller groups of 8 and 9 groups, it's going to be $7.95 a person. And then if you're bringing a crew that's a bit larger of 10 to 11 people, it's going to be $7.45 per person.
Mm-hmm. And that's all your food and everything.
Meals and housing are included. On that first night here, you're provided a hotel stay. And on your last night, you're also provided a hotel stay. So you don't have to leave out late.
What a fun adventure. Like going to camp, but you're not, so much more affordable.
I mean, it is a camp, but it's a trek. So you're kind of moving locations every night. We do have a base facility located out at Lake Fosse Point State Park, or it's an outpost facility called Camp Atchafalaya. And that's the groups take one day of not paddling, where they do a bunch of education programs like our baby alligator program, stream table. We have a program called Zydeco Social where they get to eat some boudin, and we borrow some accordions and instruments from the Lafayette Library System. So they get to play accordions. Mm-hmm. And then we have a 9-square court. They get to stay physically active, and then they eat a bunch of great food while they're there too, while they take a break from paddling before they begin again on the fifth day of their trek.
What a fun job. You guys get to really have fun, huh? What are some of the challenges? Like, we're talking about all the fun stuff, but this has got to be a major production as far as like maintenance of the facility and making sure you bring in enough revenue, right, to keep this afloat.
Obviously, revenue is a big part of this. We got to be able to feed our families. But at the same time, for us, I think what really separates us, why we have our kind of permanent or our full-time staff on board, is that we have a passion for what we're doing, and we just really love it. And when we're talking with people, whether it's students or teachers or travelers through the area, it's immediately evident that we have this love for this place. Mm-hmm. And they get, it's kind of infectious. So they start to have that same kind of love. And I think we feel like we're making a big change, but it's not always rosy. You know, sometimes we have thunderstorms we have to deal with, and the logistics of what we do, we plan for 10 months for a 2-month period between that June timeframe and when we finish in late July. It's a lot of planning that goes into it. We have people out there in the middle of the swamp in a wilderness, and so you have to make sure they're fed, that they're safe,
counted,
that they can navigate the right directions. Mm-hmm. We hire staff that go actually out there with them.
Yeah.
We call them trek guides, and they'll be paddling with the group. And so you got to travel. You have transportation stuff. You have gear that breaks. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. I mean, there's a reason no one else has done it before, is because it's a big undertaking. And we're proud of being able to accomplish it, and we feel like we do a pretty darn good job. People come back. We've actually had an individual who has returned 7 times in a row for a trek each summer. That's become kind of a tradition for him. He's from Iowa. It's not like he's from Brobridge. He's from Iowa. He comes all the way down here every year, and he'll be happy to hear that we're talking about him on this podcast too. But these people that come back are really investors in the Atchafalaya and what we do here. We don't consider them customers. They have also found an appreciation for this place and have been able to be changed by their experience. And so sometimes it's those tough things you have to come across that make you a better person. So camps are great. That what separates us as a trek is that you're accomplishing something throughout that day. You're going from point A to point B. And so whatever hurdles are put in front of you, you've got to overcome them. You know, we have people who get sick. We have people who make mistakes and, you know, stub toes, get cuts, whatever it might be. You know, dehydration, heat exhaustion are real things. I mean, we participate in the summertime and we're outside. Mm-hmm. And so it's the typical kind of stuff that you have to come across, and we just have to respond to it. You know, we've had hurricanes or tropical systems that have come in place. You know, the one that most impacted us was Hurricane Barry a few years ago, and you got to get people off the water because you can't have a named storm hitting the area. if we were sitting there, you know, laughing at it because it was category 1 hurricane. The folks that we had in the water were from Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. They were from Missouri. They were from Massachusetts. And they had no idea what a hurricane is capable of. And it doesn't matter if it was a category 1 or a category 5, it was a hurricane. And so
they didn't want to get off the water.
They knew they had to. They didn't want to. Because they weren't sure of what was happening. And so we did our best to get them off the water quickly, we did, and got them back on the water as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. But when they were off the water, Jan, one of my favorite stories over the last these last 12 years of doing this is that these scouts were pulled off the water, and before they boarded the bus to head back to safety here in Lafayette, they saw this big pile of sand over in a park over in Catahoula. And they had sandbags there, and there were people in the local community filling sandbags. And a lot of those people in that community, fishing community, are a little bit on the middle-aged to older side. It's not a community where a lot of young people are still living. Mm-hmm. And they saw these locals struggling to fill sandbags. We're talking about July or whatever Barry came through. I believe it was early July. So it's hot, and they're working out there in the sun. And these scouts said, hey, I know we need to get back to safety, but we're going to fill sandbags for this community, but not just for the people who are sitting right here, for everyone who comes and needs a sandbag. So they sat there for a couple hours and just constantly filled sandbags. I don't remember how many hundreds and hundreds of bags they filled, but they basically obliterated the sand pile. Mm-hmm. So when people would come, they had sandbags already pre-made for them. So it's just like, those are the kind of things that are beautiful. Really, really special. You know, these people, they come here and they fall in love with it over a very quick period of time because what we have is so special. Mm-hmm. And we've just kind of put blinders on it here in Acadiana. You got to get out there and really fall in love, and they do. And so they wanted to get back on the water as quickly as possible because, like, this was an experience of a lifetime for them.
Right. It really is a sportsman's paradise. And I think it's just, we just take it for granted, you know. You were mentioning one of your, you know, regulars from Iowa. I do want to get in Gary McGoffin's name. I know that he was very instrumental in some of this, and I don't really know who else was, but if there's anybody you'd like to call out, you know, to thank them for their dedication to the Scouts in this program.
So the beginning of kind of the general idea of the conservation activities happened prior to my joining. I was here when we actually started doing them, but the kind of inception conversation, Gary was a huge part of that. I remember him telling a story about sitting on a front porch and they were talking about a trash cleanup that was coming up. I'm not sure who was hosting it, but Harold Scheffler, who was a scout master here locally, was going to go out there and pick up a bunch of trash with his scouts and then Jafalaya. And so he was being mentioned. And this another individual, David Goodwin, was sitting on that porch at the time. It was David and Gary. And they're like, how can we sit there and, you know, make this bigger than just a trash cleanup? Well, they saw Mr. Scheffler go out there and his scouts just obliterate the trash. I mean, they beat everybody by like thousands and thousands of pounds being picked up during this event. And they're like, man, look at what these scouts can do. And they're like, we got to get more scouts involved in the Atchafalaya, like Mr. Scheffler's troop was doing. So that was really the early, early inception of it. But we've had so many people that have been involved over the years. Like I said earlier, the state governments, the parish governments have been involved. So parish presidents, I mean, it'd be impossible for us to name everyone. But we've never really gotten anyone who said no to us because they see that this is a much larger thing than just going out there and doing something for scouting. They know it's going to have lifelong impacts on people's lives, whether they're in scouting or outside of scouting. I mean, this is being done for Louisiana. And we've always sat there and said, this is a Louisiana first project. It's not a Lafayette, Acadiana scouting project. That's why I'm so involved in it. I don't have the scouting background. For me, it's about leaving a legacy here in the state. And so just having all those people who've always told us yes and how can we help, those are the people that I would want to back.
I want to encourage all of our local residents and people listening to this to look up Louisiana Swamp Base and see everything that's available in the beautiful pictures. And we're here with Jason Sikora. Thank you, Jason, for taping recording today.
Yeah.
I always get that wrong, and I know he's got some questions he'd like to ask. I mean,
we can call it taping. It's okay. Well, thank you guys for coming down here. This is fantastic. Another quick plug for the website. What's the URL? What's the website address?
The website is swampbasebsa.org.
Excellent. And then is there social media as well?
Yes. We have Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.
TikTok.
Yes, we are. We're on TikTok.
Are you dancing?
Not us. So we filmed.
We're not really cool for TikTok. Yeah, not cool enough, but we try.
We filmed a few in-house. We have a small three-person day-to-day team, and we've done a couple. But mostly, a lot of the summer staff that we hire for Trek Guide and program staff, they're college student age. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are from UL, some from LSU. Some of them are from other states, but we kind of let them have some creative liberties with our TikToks in the summer. So most of the time our TikTok is active in the summertime when our staff are creating that content.
You'll know it when we create the TikTok because the song choices are going to be a lot older sounding, you know, it'll be, you know, the Beatles or Guns N' Roses that we're trying to use. And then they're using something that we've never heard of before.
Of course, exactly. All right. So you see a lot of people from out of state. What kind of misconceptions about Louisiana or the swamps of Louisiana that you crop up over and over again?
I mean, you guys probably know the stereotypes. When we started this back in 2010, at that time, the reality TV shows were so prevalent here in Louisiana. It was a big boost to tourism for Louisiana to have Swamp People be one of the number one cable shows in the country and Duck Dynasty being huge. But unfortunately, there's a lot of entertainment that's added to that to try to, you know, make it something that maybe isn't really accurate. And so having those, these survival shows out there, they've kind of impacted a little bit of why people see and view Louisiana. So they assume that we're not necessarily all that educated, that we go to school in boats, that we have alligators, you know, as our guard dogs.
We get a lot of like Waterboy and Shrek references too.
Really?
Yeah.
The Waterboy ones are the worst. But
I know, I used to hate that stereotype. Oh boy.
So, but again, we're in the business of changing opinions and perceptions of this place. So I'm okay with those being kind of their thoughts when they get here. And because now I got an opportunity to make a difference on somebody. If they just got here and said, oh, you know, swamps are beautiful and we love it. We can't wait to go out there. They're like, oh, that's cool. That doesn't get me fired up about what we do. We actually have this whole little kind of activity that I love. I think a lot of our staff loves this idea that we ask every group, every individual to describe the swamp with one single word.
Oh, wow.
And so if you look at the Atchafalaya, it's 1.4 million acres
that's
in size.
Amazing.
It's very hard to sit there and define anything with one word, but it's a word association game. So it's like the first time you hear the word swamp, what is the first word that comes to mind? And we go through every single scout and leader and say, give us your word. And we scribe it, right? The vast majority of those words are negative words about the swamp. Mm-hmm. So they're spending around $750 each person, plus travel, plus gear that they've purchased, plus all the time of training to get down here. And then they're going, oh yeah, I think swamps are gross. oh, I think swamps are disgusting and dangerous and full of mosquitoes and alligators and snakes. And you're going, why did you come down here?
Could have gone to Six Flags, you know.
But the reason they say that, the reason they're here is because they want to experience the mystery that this place has. Yeah. And so we go out there after they've paddled that 61.6 miles through the swamp. When they get back to town and we're doing what we call our departure ceremony, we challenge them again and say, give us one word that describes the swamp. And as you would hope, having been out there, seen the sunrises, the sunsets, seen the wildlife, heard the wildlife, maybe talk with locals who are fishing in the area, they've fallen in love with the place. And so those words have gone from being vast majority negative to 180 degree difference of being positive. Every single word is now positive. And so they're talking about the simple ones, beautiful and majestic. But you're also talking about people who are saying, you know, it's underappreciated. It's home for me. And you're going, well, you're from Minnesota. How is the Atchafalaya in Louisiana now home to you? And they're like, there was something about the air. It was cleaner than I've ever experienced. It embraced me in a way that I never have. And one of these, you know, we talk about the sandbags being a great story, but I had this veteran who served in the Iraqi war, and he talked about the PTSD that he had. This is after the end of his trip, and he goes, I hadn't slept this well since I got back from serving in the military. He goes, I struggle with insomnia, could always be restless sleeping. He goes, and then I get out into the Atchafalaya, and now I'm sleeping. He goes, I had the best sleep I've ever had in these last four nights out here in this swamp. And I'm like, how could you have good sleep? We put you on cots, hammocks that are not necessarily strung upright, so your back's going to ache. Yeah. We're feeding you a bunch of Cajun food that's probably got your stomach in knots, and you slept your best you've ever slept. He goes, there's just something about this place. And that is what gets us so excited about it. So you hear these people start off in a negative way about Louisiana. And even our locals can think about this place in a negative way. Then they experience it, and it's completely changed who they are and their opinion of this place. So.
Wow. It must choke you up.
We get goosebumps all the time. You know,
people in that way.
It's awesome. You see people crying at these departure ceremonies because of how moved they are, how proud they are of the young people that are with them that have overcome some adversity along the trail or just the mileage itself, and just being proud of someone and being able to share in that kind of that moment is so special.
Like, wow, that's really good. Volunteers, donations, are there opportunities for those kind of things? Individual donations, company donations? Are you looking for volunteers? How does that work?
Yes. I'll let Ben explain more how it works. But yes, we volunteers, donations, support in really any way is spectacular.
And what's the best way to find out more info about that?
Obviously, giving us a call or shooting us an email is the best way. And we would be happy to meet with anyone who would be interested in supporting the program. Anybody who loves the outdoors, loves youth programs, is big on education. Education is really the cornerstone of everything we do. I mean, it's getting that first opportunity for them to see something and get their hands kind of in that mud and everything and see it and feel it. And so contacting us is the best way, whether it's through the website, call our office, and hopefully we can go take a boat ride out there in the water and really inspire somebody.
Yeah. I think I mentioned it earlier. We're a day-to-day team of just three people. So we have some pretty integral volunteers that when we need to go out into the field and repair our floating pavilions, or we built a boardwalk a couple weeks ago. Just if you are local and want to volunteer your time, it's absolutely valuable.
Wow. All right. Good to know. And then finally, all right, so favorite places, both in and out of the basin, if each one of you have a couple of places that if you just had a couple hours to go hang out, where would you go?
Ooh, that's a tough one. We have on the third day of our trail, kind of near Lake Dotrieve, we have an area of kind of like a dense cypress forest of some old growth we call Forgotten Cove. You can't really get lost in it, but it feels like you're getting lost in it because you can just kind of lose yourself in the trees. And we normally stop there with groups for about 45 minutes, and we do a silent paddle there where we ask themselves to put themselves in the shoes of like an early pioneer or a first person exploring this area, and to just imagine what the early Cajuns and Native peoples experienced trying to live in this area, trying to use resources, find their way. And it's a really great experience just to sit and absorb.
Wow.
I try to spend every weekend I can on the water paddling somewhere in a swamp. The easy ones are saying, you know, going to Lake Martin here.
Yeah.
I know every single tree. I memorized them. I probably have names for half of them too. Going up west of Shreveport to Caddo Lake is beautiful. But if I had to, if I had to pick one spot that just really kind of moves me every time I'm there, it's the, what I call the north rim of Lake Foss Point. And so there's just south of the state park, there's the larger water body. And it actually has a levee running right adjacent to the lake there. The cypress trees that line that lake are some of the oldest that we have in the entire state. And they're just beautiful dinosaurs that are sitting there on this edge of this lake. And it's not easy to get to. You got to go down a gravel road quite a ways. And if you're coming from Lafayette, you got to go all the way to Sherrington. So the drive is still over an hour and then kind of beats up your vehicle on the gravel. And there's no real good, easy launch to get your boat into the water. You have to be paddling. So motorboats aren't really, really accessible unless you go further down. But the trees and how wide they are and how long the moss drips off of these branches. And it just, you feel like you're going back in time. I mean, these trees are 500 to 1,000 plus years old. And so you know that they've seen so much and weathered so many storms. And, you know, this is kind of that cliche of, you know, what kind of stories do they tell? But like, they have had amazing lives sitting there right there on this lake and being able to kind of just slowly paddle through them, listening to the owls and seeing the gators moving around. You just feel like you're in a completely different world. And I'm in swamps all the time, and I still feel like that place is different than everywhere else.
All right. So I have some new locations to go visit.
Oh, we're giving away all of our favorites here. Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you guys for coming out here today. This is great. And I hope you have a happy Easter and come back soon. Yes. Jan, thank you again for letting me ask some questions.
Thank you, Jason. I've enjoyed this so much. I want to thank Gina Beckham and Ben Pierce of Louisiana Swamp Base for taking the time today to not only share your passion, but hopefully inspire some people to, you know, visit what's right in our backyard and really enjoy our sportsman's paradise. I want to thank our listeners. Thank you for your loyal support. We're very grateful for you. This is like the 7th anniversary. We've been doing this podcast at 7 years now, so it's been a real labor of love. I couldn't do this without our sponsors, of course, Raider and Jason Secor every week. Thank you for what you do. Oxner, Lafayette General, and ViMed. We're very grateful for your support. If you haven't subscribed yet, please go wherever you get your podcast. You can sign up for Discover Lafayette. We release our podcast every Friday. And you can also visit our website, discoverlafayette.net, to see all of our interviews, which number almost 400 now. So thank you both for making this another beautiful podcast. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, this is Jan Swift. Thank you.